great to be with you again on our face-to-face podcast. We're so thankful for the large number of you that have been following along as we're studying the book by Elizabeth Elliot, Discipline, the Glad Surrender. And I'm thankful that you're burdened to keep growing in your Christian life. As I've mentioned for the last several times, we're looking forward to being able to actually have an actual Bible study at the church. We could do it right now, but the big issue is we're phasing in our children's programs and trying to work out all that's involved with the unique situation that we're in these days. And so we'll let you know, but for the time being, for the next several weeks, we'll be doing these podcasts, and then we'll be looking forward to resuming our full Bible study on Tuesday mornings, and that will be just a special blessing, and I do look forward to that. I encourage you to be in church and to be in Bible studies and to get back to really letting God work in your life. It'll make a great deal of difference. We're so thankful. We've had three Sundays now, and this week right now we're in a concert of prayer. And if you happen to listen to this right away to tonight and tomorrow night, we'll be having our final 2 days of Dr. Flanders and then a time of prayer. If you'd like to get in on that, we certainly would love to have you be part of it. That's at 6:30, not at 7 o'clock. So if you'd like to come, it'd be great to have you here at the church. So the Lord has been blessing. Well, our subject for today is the discipline of work. And there's a number of different angles. This is another large chapter, and I'm going to just cover some highlights that I think I can try to emphasize that'll be a help to you. And first of all, at the very beginning, she talks about the fact there is no such thing as Christian work. For a believer, everything we do is sacred. There's really, for a spirit-filled believer, no difference between the secular and the sacred. We need to understand that our lives should be empowered by the Spirit, and everything we do ought to be for the glory of God. Now, there is a difference between vocational work that we do to support ourselves or to manage our own homes, the tremendous privilege of housework and being a mother. This is one of the most valuable parts of life, and thank God for faithful Christian women. That work is quite a work, and that is something that's very, very important. And all of these things we do in the natural course of life are very important to the Lord. But there is another kind of work, and that we've talked often about, and that is the matter of ministry. God gifts each one of us individually. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4, and it is a great joy to know that God will supernaturally empower us to do a spiritual work for Him, that is the perfecting of others. As we're perfected, equipped by the leadership gifts, then those that are perfected do the same by equipping and doing the work of the ministry, teaching truth, helping people come into a alive, vibrant walk with God and protect them from all of the error that is out there. All of us have that kind of work to do. And frankly, that is why we are still here, to fulfill the Great Commission and to do the work that God has given for us to do supernaturally in the lives of people. And so you have this delicate balance of perspective. On the one side, we need to see our entire life as important to God, from the work we do in the home to the work we may do out professionally as far as providing support for the home. All of these things are very important. Maybe volunteer work that we do and helping others, all of that is really important. But then there's also the work that is the ministry that God has called us to. Every one of us are called to the ministry. And that work is especially empowered by the Spirit to accomplish that which will last in the lives of others. And so all of our life is important, but we cannot neglect the ministry part of our life. So I hope you get that balance. And so we need to look at every part of our life as critical, but we need to keep our focus on eternity and making sure even our vocational work, even things that we do that seem just so routine, we need to see them as having an impact. There's no way to put a value upon mothering, housework. I mean, that's an investment in eternity. That's ministry. When you're out on the job, if you're having to do some work, you're investing in the lives of others. So all of it does have eternal value. But also the local church is so important for us to be involved in. And so we need to look at the work that we do and ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? And we need to live for the glory of God in every facet of our life. You know, our motives make such a difference. We've talked about that so often. And God lays out a path for us. It's each person, it's different. Each phase of life, season of life, it is different. But everything that we do, our motive needs to be to glorify God and to be a full-time Christian in serving the Lord with all of our heart. The Lord tells those who are employees to do it as unto the Lord, to have a godly testimony. Those that are employers, to treat their employees as the Lord would. And that is a very much of a Christian duty. Obviously, training our children up in the Lord is a great ministry. Meeting the needs of our husbands, if you're married, that's another key part of furthering the work of God. And so every part of our life is really full-time Christianity. And so we have to make decisions about priorities, because what I just mentioned to you, that's a lot. If you have children and you have a household to run, that in itself is a full-time job. Some of you have things on the side that you have to do. That's a lot of pressure. And then to be involved in people's lives and ministry, that can be very time-consuming. And so you have to realize that God will lead you just like you would expect Him to lead a missionary or a pastor in where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do, what kind of ministry they're supposed to have. You would expect God to lead there. Well, He will lead you the same way. That's what's so exciting. Your life's important. Don't get into the mentality of drudgery, duty, because that will just wear you out. Be excited each day about serving the Lord, investing yourself in the lives of people, in your home especially, and then if you're out, and if you're involved in ministry, what a privilege. And you have to ask God to balance yourself in all that you do. Now, one of the things when we talk about motives and we talk about having the right balance, it obviously has to be to the glory of God. And it must not be our identity. Now, men have to really work on this, because God made them to have dominion over the world. They are to work. They are to have a vocation to support their family and to do what God wants them to do. And for men with the drive that God has put in them, it is natural for them to see their work as their identity. And one of the hardest things that men have to do is to give that to the Lord, see their identity in Christ, and also see their identity as a minister of the truth, that every person, no matter what job they have, has been called and gifted, and so the identity needs to be seen as a servant of the Lord. And that is where it has to be. You know, as you look at New Testament Christianity, as is mentioned in this chapter, we don't know exactly what some of these men, the deacons, did, what some of these early men did to support themselves. We know that Paul was a tent maker, but the fact of the matter is they didn't see themselves by their vocation. That wasn't their identity. Their identity was the fact that they were servants of the Lord, and they were excited about serving the Lord. And so they are seen in the depths of their heart by their own perspective as being part of the kingdom and being a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so when we live that way and we walk with the Lord, oh, it's wonderful, because God begins to do things. God turns the home into a place of miracles. God changes children's lives. God gives you wisdom on how to manage things. God answers your prayer about your needs. If you're on the job, God allows you to be able to make that a place in which the testimony of the Lord goes forth. And then when you're serving the Lord in ministry, my, what a joy to see people's lives transformed and families touched because God is working in your life. And so we all need to think of ourselves from that standpoint. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Let's lift up, as she said, our work to the Lord. Let's lift up our hearts and our hands and all that we do, and be excited about the fact that God has given us a life of power and miracles to live. It's mentioned here in this chapter that oftentimes when we are not walking with God and we're just going through duty, we have deadness and lifelessness and boredom. And it really can just be surviving from one day to the next. You know, that's really tragic. Life is such a precious gift. That clock keeps ticking, and we will soon be with the Lord. Our opportunity will be over. And so every day needs to have meaning. It ought to be very special. And so we need to view the work of our life, all of it, as a tremendous Christian privilege. Now, there is the reality that God has said we have to work. In fact, one of the ways, especially for men, in Genesis chapter 3, God works through the sweat of the man's brow as he works the ground. That's how he develops and sees his need of the Lord. For women, it's childbearing, and it's all the work that goes into maintaining a home and providing and doing all the things that a woman does. And so God takes those pressures, and as we yield to what needs to be done and yield ourselves to the leadership of the Lord, we begin to grow. Now, the flesh doesn't like to work. You know, it's something with little children. I don't care what personality they have or what they're like. They are not real excited about chores. They're not real excited about going out of their way and doing something they don't really want to do. And one of the most important things we can do as parents is to get our children to get over the reaction to work. The flesh just hates it. It's selfish. It wants to indulge itself. It wants to have a good time. It wants to feel good. It doesn't want to toil. It doesn't want to work hard. But there's great satisfaction, and there's maturity and growth that comes. And you remember growing up how when you started to learn to do things, you felt good about it. And when you saw adults pleased that you worked hard, there was a deep sense of satisfaction. And there was growth that came because of that. And so we need to teach our children to overcome the flesh's aversion to the matter of work. Well, when it comes to us, not every part of our character got fully cured when we were growing up. And the flesh is still strong. It's still selfish. It still wants to satisfy itself. It wants to have a good time. It wants to enjoy itself. And so there is a battle when it comes to work. And it is very important for us to realize that God wants us to overcome our natural tendency to shirk back from really accomplishing and bring that to the Lord, because there's a lot to do, as I just mentioned. You try to balance all the things that are duties of yours, and it just seems almost overwhelming. But we need to realize that there is so much that God wants us to accomplish, and that the very difficulties of work and having to put ourselves out and having to have effort will actually develop us and strengthen us and change us, and we need to embrace that. Plus, we need to realize that through the joy of work, God will give us an opportunity to make a great deal of difference in the lives of others. And there's so much more we could accomplish. You know, as you grow older, you begin to realize the little bits and pieces of time that are wasted, or the lack of effort to really utilize time even when you're working, and the many things that could be done if we really desire to do it. You know, it's amazing how priorities get in right line when we really want to do what's priority. The big problem is we got to sell ourselves by the grace of God that we really want to do it. But ladies, there are so many things God could enable you to do. There's many books you could read that could be such an enhancement to your life. You don't have to be entertained. You don't have to get caught on technology. There are things you can put aside that don't really matter. There's more investment in your family. There's more investment in the lives of others. There are things that you could write, things you could do, projects you could handle, ways you could meet the needs of folks just even in the physical realm. It's really exciting when you find your life beginning to have a trail of accomplishments and things that God did through you and people who have been touched by you. Now, this is all summed up, as she mentions, with having the attitude of the servant of the Lord. Paul called himself a bondslave. That was quite a term. In the Roman Empire, there was nothing lower than that. I mean, you had to give complete obedience or you would die. It's not like employees today. And bond slaves were under the full leadership of their master, were a possession of their master, and they were to accomplish the will of their master. And it's an amazing thing when you look at what kind of a life they lived, and to be called a bondslave ourself is just an incredible thought. But that's how you get the whole balance to everything we're saying here today. And that is, there has to be a surrender. Lord, I am yours. I'm a bondslave of yours. I need you to direct me. I need you to be my boss. During this concert of prayer, we've been talking a lot about listening to the Holy Spirit and letting the Word of God be impressed upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's tremendous when you really yield to Him and you're willing to do whatever work, no matter how uncomfortable it is, and you're spending time with Him and He impresses the right priorities on your heart. You begin to have that peace that comes because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do here, and this is what I'm supposed to do here now. And God begins to give you a plan, and your life is not your own, and it is such a tremendous blessing then to see God take your human life and empower it, and you begin to be a supernatural instrument of a holy God. And let me say, too, it's mentioned here at the end of this chapter, when you have limitations that come in or trials come, instead of it being your plans for your glory with your motives and satisfying yourself, if you're devoted to the Lord and you're living for Him and you want Him to be glorified and you want His will to be done, when trials come, you think, all right, how's God going to use this? How's this going to work so that He can get more from my life? Even if there's a huge backset, physical problems, God is able to take the most difficult trials and cause you to be a great blessing. And she uses the well-known illustration of Joni Erickson Tada, how she was a quadriplegic, and just amazing how she has been able to be a blessing to people around the world and work hard and through massive difficulties. And yet she has the great peace, and she'll tell you, God just keeps reminding her that she would not be the person she is nor have the ministry she had were it not for what God allowed. And so it's very important. Let's don't let the flesh overcome us. Let's let the discipline of work, by the Spirit of God, take our lives and make something of them. Let's don't be afraid of work. Yes, it's work to take care of your home. It's work to rear children. It's work to minister to people. It's work to get out and give the gospel. It is work to have to do extra work, if that's what you have to do, and a vocation. It's not easy. You get worn out. But if we're in God's will, and we are a bond slave of Christ, and we're not going to let our lives get bound by laziness and selfishness, but instead have the joy of just working for Him, there is just a refreshment that comes day after day, and God is able to work mightily. Oh, to be able to say like the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I finished my course. To finish our course with joy. To be able to know that as best we knew how, we were doing what God wanted us to do at each season of life. And we did it with vigor. We did it with zeal. We did it with holy enthusiasm. We were not afraid to accomplish what He wanted to accomplish. And we didn't let it become duty and boredom, but instead we saw it as a divine adventure to serve the Lord. If you're able to live that way, every day is precious. Every moment is a jewel. Every time the clock ticks, it's been a joy to be able to live. And you're able to trust the Lord through no matter what is occurring in your life. Oh, may we have a glad surrender to this reality that God wants us to work. But that's where we're going to be satisfied. That's where we're going to please Him. If it's by His power, that's where we're going to see our life count. May God give us the heart to be a bondslave for Jesus Christ.